Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio.
What's your name?
I just hadn't done that to you in a while. The random stare, like you forgot something.
No, I didn't forget.
I was the one rushing today.
Yeah.
So my name's Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor today
do
is...
Do tell, Bill.
Team Power. It's not Team Power.
Oh,
fumble on the play. Pape Machinery.
Oh, yeah, them.
Yeah.
Same building, different name.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally different program, too.
Different sign, yeah. Yeah, Pape Machinery is our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And if you need anything John Deere, as far as tractors, implements, parts, service, they do it all up there. Go up and see them. They also have steel products. Just in time for Christmas, go in there and get a new chainsaw or weed whacker or line trimmer. They got them all in stock. And Honda generators. Winter's coming. Power could go off. Get your new Honda generator there at Pape Machinery. Or give them a call at 226-9226 or get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
There.
Yeah.
There, that wasn't so bad.
Stumbled through that one.
Well, the good news is our guest is always on the ball. He always busts me on all this stuff. I thought this was like the 12th show we did on Africa. Now it's the 13th. It's good. It's a good thing somebody's actually following along because, I don't know, you know, I need supervision sometimes. I dislike it.
Sometimes.
But I need it. So we have not had Harry on since July. Wow, that seems like a really, really long time. Because typically there's a lot going on in South Africa, and there has been a lot going on. We've just been jammed up. I don't know, China sort of overtook the South Africa problem. But we're back. It's time to give everybody an update because how that interacts with American, I will say, politics and all the stuff that you're seeing, it's a fascinating connection. If you have not heard any of our shows on South Africa, I would encourage you to go to wethepeopleradio.us, click on the South Africa tab at the top, and you have a wealth of programming. So we have tabs for South Africa, China, Islam, environmental issues, national security, marijuana, if you still think marijuana is good for you and it's natural and it doesn't hurt children. Actually, there should be a rule. You should have to go listen to those shows.
Or you could just go up to Siskiyou County and get in a gun battle.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, you roll in 8,000 cartel members. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
So all these people who think legalizing it made the crime go down? Well, several people got shot yesterday. So between the Hmong and the Chinese cartel and the 8 million gallons of water, just going to that one location. I mean, there's a lot of locations.
It was probably just a little transportation issue disagreement they had.
Yeah.
So it's that time of year.
Who knows? I don't have the details yet. But, yeah, so if you think that it's not hurting anybody, I beg to differ. Feel free to call. My phone number's on the website. All right, so our guest is Dr. Harry Bouyans. He's an internationally recognized, multiple award-winning PhD defense and aerospace physicist. That should make you impressed.
Yeah.
Because we're none of those things.
Speak for yourself.
You weren't even sure where you work.
Bill, I don't work there today. It's Sunday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Sorry, I'll cut you loose on that one.
All right.
He is originally from South Africa, so he's not just talking about, you know, stuff he read in a book. And he has a 360-year bloodline, and we've been talking to him for a while, so I'm sure that's a little bit longer. We should probably change that number. And so his family comes from there. So when you think about, you know, go back, he has said this multiple times, but really stuck with me when they say you should go back to where you came from. He's like, that's where we came from. He lives with his family on the forested slopes outside Vancouver, Canada. So we always get a fun Canadian perspective on things, but he pays a lot of attention to what's going on in this country and with our politics. I know we're going to talk about that today. And basically his life as a scientist exposed him to many of the realities of the Cold War And the period immediately following the fall of the Berlin Wall. It included interaction with the United States and British defense establishment. He applies his lifetime of research and interpretive skills to history and genealogy, and he writes with factual accuracy in an engaging style on these subjects. And, you know, that's totally true. I've posted some of his articles. You can I would really, really encourage you to read some of his work. The Amabulu blog is listed on our site. Links to that, and he does updates all the time. He's really, really a good writer, and he's always factually accurate for himself and other people, including me. So, Harry, how's the world treating you up there in Canada today? Uh-oh. Is he in the cone of silence?
Uh-oh. Harry, can you hear us in there?
No.
No?
It's funny. We're looking at him on a computer screen in front of us on a Skype Connect. But he has a 7-second delay, so I'm like, oh, maybe he's just not looking up yet. No, he can't hear us. Oh, after all that.
Uh-oh.
I could have stalled for time while Travis called him back. But I just stalled for time. Here, everybody. Oh, he said he's got. Nope. He just showed us his phone on Skype, but he can't hear us. Or Travis, flip some different switches.
Okay, we got to talk to the man behind the curtain and find out what's happening with our guest.
I have no audio connection back here. I have no connection with that computer.
No, you don't. He should be on the phone.
No one's on the phone right now.
Oh.
Well, that's a problem. That so he showed problem. Us his phone. But,
yeah, I think he's waiting for a phone call possibly, hey?
Robert, do you have Harry's number in your hot little hand, or would you like my phone to go show Travis what the number is? So we didn't hook up the phone connection?
Oh, that's what happened.
Oh, yeah, that little detail. Oh.
Well, I didn't.
That's what happens.
Like
that's what happens when you roll in and you think everybody's got everything. Travis, I will Skype that to you right this hot minute.
Perfect.
Well, so much for having that all squared away.
Well, in the meantime, yeah, we're going to talk about...
In the meantime, I did a really good introduction, and I didn't really actually mess anything up, so...
No. But yep. There are a lot of things going on in South Africa right now since we talked to Harry last time.
Absolutely. So with these calling him, I guess I'm just going to promote some of the things that we have discussed, because honestly, there has been just a massive lie perpetrated on, I'd say the world, actually, but specifically on the American public. I don't think most people realize that... The people, when they went to South Africa, were Dutch 360-plus years ago. They're Dutch, and they did not displace anybody, and they never enslaved anybody.
Nope.
And so all these things that we hear about all the time are fake. And if you'd like the real history, I hope you do go listen to the earlier programs, although Harry's pretty good at catching us up. So now he's probably on the phone, I think.
Hi.
Hey, there he is.
There you go. Huh. So much for all of our technical awareness. Well, we have like 2 minutes till the break. You want to give everybody a little shot at what we're going to discuss today?
I guess you're talking to me, Aaron. I'm not used to this little voice on the side in the phone here.
Sorry, yeah, you sound really small too. Maybe you can move the speaker a little closer.
I can do my level best. I'm starting to get it into the camera.
We might actually have to connect you with Skype. Maybe we. Robert's all no.
Okay, so I guess the background here is that while the United States has been heavily focused, quite rightly, on the election of a president, things have been changing drastically in South Africa, and I was hoping to share some of that with folks and. Probably it can be summarized as maybe the long silent non-black population of South Africa has found its voice. They have basically grinned and borne it for 26 years, and at a little town called Senekal, the whole cup just kind of didn't run over. It boiled over. And I don't think South Africa is going to be the same ever since 6 October 2020. And I wanted to share that with folks.
Well, good, because they've been really taking a beating, and it's been somewhat silent. I mean, they've kind of gone unheralded after all this time, not by you, but by, God, the American media. We won't even, well, we will probably get into that a little, but they don't give them, they really don't give them the coverage that they need in order to defend themselves and in order to get the factual message out. Let's take a really quick break here, and we're going to work on our sound, because I'm sure people actually listening on the radio are frustrated because his sound is very low. So we'll get that squared away, and we'll be right back. So in the meantime, you're listening to We the People, and you should find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Not on in anybody's ear.
There we go. Oh,
that's, we were in the
better
cone of silence.
No. There. Good, Harry. Can you hear us a little better now?
Oh, I can see his mouth moving. Oh.
He was hung up on, and I called him back, and it was busy.
Oh,
so
okay.
He might need to hang up, and we could try again.
Okay, call him again. He's giving us hand signals on the screen here. Huh. Well, you know what? Being all ready hasn't really panned out. But you know what? It will. So, all right. In other news here, I want you to. All right. I got him on Skype.
There we go.
Okay. So, oh, maybe he's in there. It's really weird looking at him on a screen. Because we kind of feel like we can talk to him, but we can't. Travis is talking to him on the phone. I'm giving you the play-by-play. I feel like a baseball announcer.
Can you read lips?
Radio baseball announcer.
He's still coming up busy. I called 3 times.
Okay. Well, that's not good. So we're going to... Robert, you doomed us there, bud. You hung up on him. Okay. So let's see. Senegal, I'm sure I'm positive that I'm pronouncing it incorrectly. I'm going to put here, he's trying to call you. There we go. Peaceful little town on the Free State Prairie of South Africa. And nothing is ever, this is Harry's writing, nothing is supposed to ever happen there. One is supposed to hear the corn grow. That part of the country is a world of wide vistas, fields of wheat, corn, sunflower, tractors, combine harvesters, grain silos, and church steeples. This is the Midwest and the prairie of South Africa. And a world of John Deere and Massey Ferguson. The local farmers are no-nonsense folks with big hearts, a firm handshake, and a word that counts for something. They're traditionally Calvinist Christians, typically belonging to a Reformed church. Midwestern American Presbyterians would feel quite comfortable with these folks and that in that church. It's kind of interesting to think about that being South Africa, because I think that's not the picture that most people have. But Harry, in your absence, we painted a little picture of the area that we'll be discussing. So you take it away. I just exhausted all my knowledge.
Yeah. So what I try to say, and I don't know if you guys can hear me any better now.
There, yeah, a little bit.
Okay. I am perfectly set up on Skype, if you can use that. That's running live at this time. While the U.S. was correctly focused on the election, things went, as the British would say, pear-shaped in South Africa. It was one farm murder too many. The back of the camel finally broke, and it broke spectacularly. And it led to the first ever clash, to my knowledge, in the history of South Africa, between a crowd of white people in a street and a crowd of black people in a street. And the country turned on a knife edge. And I've been in communication with the individual who manned that knife edge. And I would like to describe some of that to your listeners and viewers. And I came prepared today with a collection of sound clips, which I sent to you, Aaron. And I have them arranged in a sequence that might make sense. And the first of those is a little soundtrack by it's Katie Hopkins, the British conservative lady. So it's Katie Hopkins, and she's on a show that's known as the Jensen show in the Netherlands. They're doing this in English with Dutch subtitles, and she describes the situation. And Katie probably did it better than one could even dream of, because she's such an expressive person. So maybe I could shut up and you guys could play that first.
I'm gonna have to play this from my computer at this point, which is fine. But can you tell me what is it called? A1. Okay. Travis, if you can make this play on that little that little hitch up deal I got going on here.
So this is Katie Hopkins on a show called Jensen in the Netherlands.
Okay.
And here's what she said.
It's the situation that is something that's close to your heart and something that hasn't been addressed a lot in this country. It's the situation with the white farmers in South Africa.
I had loads of emails from South Africans, and you're right, the white farmers are mostly whites in South Africa, but their farmers, the people that work the land with them, are black individuals, families who've worked with them for years, generations of the same families, black and white, working together on the land. Now, because of the policies of the ANC, which is land expropriation without compensation, i.e. we're going to take back the land, what it means...
Because you got the land unfairly.
You got the land and you're rich and apartheid. You know, everything is apartheid. And so they're saying that the policy, political policy is we're going to take it back without paying you anything. And what that translates to on the ground is black gangs going onto farms and committing the worst acts of savagery I've ever imagined. I spent a month there in country, traveled the equivalent of the United States of America, and met these farmers and listened to their stories. And I came back, you know, I've not been the same.
It's harrowing.
It's the genocide of whites from the land, but because they're the wrong color.
Do you have any statistics?
Color,
how many people have lost?
So it's more dangerous to be a white farmer in South Africa than it is to be on the front line of the South African police force.
Yeah.
And if you think about what the police force faces in South Africa, that's a pretty dangerous thing.
It's an incredibly violent.
Yeah. No one wants to talk about it. No one wants to talk about it because these farmers are the wrong color.
And that's the truth of it. So. The result is that nothing happens and people are just continually killed. Now, there is an individual who is the leader of the third biggest political party in the country. His name is Julius Malema, and he has the habit of singing the song that you can hear in clip A2, which would be the next sound clip.
Shoot to kill, kill him. Kiss the poor.
the farmer, this the poor, the farmer. Burr, pa, pa, burr, pa, pa. Attention.
And we've seen that on video before.
I have carefully stripped all the video away because I thought today was going to be an audio show.
No, but I mean, I remember we saw that on video, and that's
frightening,
super scary.
What he does is he dances on stage from one foot to the other, and then he turns his right hand into the shape of a gun. And then when he says, prr, pow, pow, he's indicating that he's shooting. And there may be some distortion on that clip, but he's basically starting off by saying, shoot to kill. And then he says, kill the boer, the farmer. The word boer is Dutch or Afrikaans or Flemish, or in fact, most Northern European languages for farmer. Boer is just farmer. There's nothing weird about the word.
And it's spelled B-O-E-R, so when you see that on the signs, that's the word for farmer there.
And interestingly, there was a huge, big pro-Trump, pro-America rally in Beverly Hills about a week and a half ago. And one guy in between was walking along with a Boer Lives Matter sign. Of course, a guy like me would notice that. Okay.
Yes.
Just to also make it clear, I have the 1600s records of New York, and I can tell you that the British soldiers referred to the farmers in upstate New York as boer, the same word.
So they used the Afrikaans word for farmer there.
Yeah, so you guys decided to focus on English for a national language, and we retained the Dutch. We both started with Dutch, you know, all of us. And that's why we're closest cousins, you know. It doesn't surprise me that the Van Wyck Highway in New York should be called that, except I pronounce it Van Wyck. Okay? When I drove through that area the first time in my life, I saw the town Peekskill, and I told people, I bet you that's named after a guy called Jan or Koos Pik. And true enough, it's named after Jan Pik. Okay. Or the Schuylkill River further south, you know, which is really Schuylkill, which means it's a deep spot in the river where you hide. So that Dutch is everywhere over there. Okay. You just elected not to use the word. We kept it. So boer means farmer. It's no deeper than that.
Interesting. Well, when people see that on some of these signs, especially, we'll get into the whole Black Lives Matter deal and all that, because there's a lot of interplay in that as well. And I'm sorry, we've now had enough technical things to roll us to yet another break. Sorry about that. But we will be right back swiftly as possible. You can find the program at wethepeopleradio.us. Some of it has kind of become superstition in a way. All right, Harry, back to the story.
Okay, so you've heard Katie Hopkins's background. You've heard Malema singing to his followers on a stage, kill the farmers, kill the boere. And so, of course, they go and do it. And at the same time, that same guy, that same third largest party leader in the country, explains that things are actually worse in the country than under apartheid. But for some or other reason, in his twisted moral picture, he blames white people for that, and that the only way for him and his type to get out of the mess that they're in is to take everything that white people have. So rather than me say that, how about you hear the man himself talk about that, about how things were actually better under apartheid? Okay, not me. This is Malema.
This is four.
This is number three.
Let's try that one more time.
What type of freedom is this? That 24 years into democracy, we are worse than the way we were during apartheid.
24 years into democracy and they're worse off? Am I understanding that correctly?
That's what he's saying. So he forgets today that he said that 2 years ago. But that was his complaint, is that things are so terrible, it's going worse with his guys. Not him. I mean, he's now a millionaire. He lives in a mansion. He's got all kinds of Mercedes. But supposedly things are so bad for his guys, they're worse than under apartheid. Well, apartheid was the system that the last white government had. And everything in the country is being stolen by the ANC government that Bill Clinton wanted for South Africa, and that Hillary Clinton fated. And somehow, in his twisted logic, he feels he's got to blame white guys from a quarter century ago for that. Okay? So, of course, people overseas started noticing that. And one Indian television show got hold of the subject. And I think it's Indian, and interviewed him. And I think you should hear what he has to say. And that is clip four.
It's of the natural order of things that encourages white South Africans to racist outbursts. But that also...
Wrong one.
Sorry, say that again.
That's the wrong one.
Okay.
It's A4. That you want.
Sorry, that's what's highlighted. Since I don't know what I'm listening to, I'm having a little...
A4, Malema, not yet slaughter.
Yeah.
I've never here we slapped go. A white person. Nothing. I've never called for their slaughter. I've never called for their killing.
That's a lie.
At least for now. I can't guarantee the future.
Yeah, but, I mean... You'd understand somebody watching that. They freak out. It sounds like a genocidal
crybabies.
What type?
Oh, they're crybabies because he's calling for them to be slaughtered?
Well, his words were, I have not called for any of them to be slaughtered, at least not yet.
Oh.
Okay, and so this interviewer is telling him, but hell, man, don't you understand the reaction of folks when they hear you use those words? Okay, and he says, crybabies. Okay, now, you will hear about the crybabies any moment now. I just have to sketch you this. Now, if there's any confusion as to what they want, here is an associated group. It's essentially the Black Lives Matter of South Africa. They're called Black First, Land First. And my numbering is out of sequence. That one is A6. It is entitled A6. It is ours, BFLF.
We don't want your handovers. We don't want you to feel pity for us. We are coming for you and we are going to get everything that you own. It's ours.
Everything you own is ours. Well, that's fairly clear.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's 26 years of rule by Nelson Mandela's party, and all of these people see only one thing. They see white people, and they want what white people have. Doesn't matter what Mandela did. Doesn't matter what Mandela said. Doesn't matter what his ANC party has done. Doesn't matter that they have completely tanked the country. Doesn't matter that every state corporation is bankrupt. Doesn't matter that it's in hock to the whole world finance scheme. The country's bankrupt, and they don't know what to do anymore. But on the ground, black people want to have what whites have. End of discussion. It's so simple for them. That's what they.
And they have framed it in the context that this was taken from them, therefore it is owed back to them. But as we've learned from you historically, that's actually not accurate.
None of them know their own history. I mean, people devoid of that level of logic. What reason could you possibly have to believe they even understand who their grandfather was or where he was? So Malema comes from the far north of the country. The president comes from almost the border of Zimbabwe in the far north. His own people arrived in South Africa a little bit later than what white people arrived in the country. Okay? They reckon the country was stolen from them. It's just, is there a polite English word for crap?
Yeah, we get to say crap. We checked that out already.
It's crap.
Well, they're being told this, and they've been told this, the world's been told this, that whites have stolen what the blacks had, and they're just trying to get back what they used to have. We know from learning history from, you know, all the stuff that you've shown us, that that's actually not accurate. But do they actually believe that? Or is this just a narrative that works for them?
Passionately.
Passionately. Okay, so they believe that really happened.
They believe it happened. Okay? But when they go and speak to, like, their elders in their tribes and stuff, they hear the real thing, but they don't want to listen to the elders of their tribes because, you know, they wear jeans now and they have cell phones. I mean, they got the right uniform to pretend to know something about the world. Yeah, they got Levi's and they got the latest iPhone, you know, and they got Reebok or something on the feet. So they are manawat count, as we would say. Okay, men that count. But now you can imagine against that background, Tucker Carlson at some point in 2018 put up an article in which he actually discussed this situation, and all hell broke loose. He was attacked from seven sides for having dared to suggest that farmers are being killed. Okay.
Well, I mean, you can search the images. We did that on a show with you. If you look up farm murders and you click on the images, you can see it. What did they use to attack him for talking about it?
Hive mind works. I mean, these folks. I deal with some of these here in Vancouver. You know, their answer to any fact is anger, followed shortly after by the word racist. There's no thinking. And I'm talking here about, look, I live in North Vancouver. I'm telling you that you can go and do the numbers. The most highly, the per capita most highly educated nation on earth are the Canadians. I'm telling you that I live not only in the most highly educated province, but the most highly educated city and in the most highly educated suburb. Okay? And they're that stupid. They really are that stupid. That is why you keep on hearing me say that I'd rather go shake hands with a regular farmer from Kansas or Nebraska or, you know, southwestern Illinois or what the hell ever than with these guys, because there's something with the way their brains function. It's just utter disconnection. So if they see facts that go against what they would like to believe, they erase it, or they block that website, or they whatever. They can't handle facts or the truth. And that's what we're up against. And you know, our folks are dying as a result of that behavior. So Trump reacted back in 2018, and he tweeted that South Africa is a mess and that he's instructed Mike Pompeo to investigate what's going on with the slaughter of South African farmers and the taking of their land. And that, of course, is what caused a major explosion all over the internet. And our state president reacted as follows, which is clip number A7, which I think is absolutely precious because it hangs around his neck like a lump of concrete. Clip A7 is Ramaphosa denying that there are such things as farm murders.
Okay, we'll do that and then we'll head to a break.
Itself, he was clearly misinformed, and whoever gave him that information was completely wrong. There are no killings of farmers or white farmers in South Africa.
Wow, even I know that's not true. That's pretty bad. With what little we've done, and you know, for the people that are hearing this maybe for the first time, I would really, really encourage you to go back. Go to the website, listen to some of the earlier programs on the history of South Africa, because I think you will be blown away, actually. It's, as Harry told us a long time ago, it's the history of the United States if we would have lost to the British. Very, very, very parallel history, and not at all what is being portrayed. We have to take a really fast break. We'll be back with Dr. Harry Bouyans. So you're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Exactly. Bad part is the government sanctioning all of it, and the police are in on it, so there's no nobody's coming for them at this point.
Are we talking about South Africa or the United States?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're starting to look a lot alike in a obviously a less deadly sort of way. Harry, I know that the farmers have been pretty. I mean, I don't know if they've been quiet about it, but they have not really been able to capture the world attention that they needed. Do you think that's improving at all?
Well, basically, as far as I'm concerned, they were just sitting there taking it. I wrote in a blog article about a week ago under the title Senecal, Oh Senecal, and essentially a little intro paragraph that says perhaps they finally found their voice and the ANC government is running scared, because all of what I've had you play so far is setting you up for what actually then happened in the month of October. Just before we launch into that, I thought that the vindication of Tucker Carlson, the farmer's case, and the utter humiliation of the New York Times would make a very good combination. And that's best done using clip number 8. That starts with the letters NYT. What happened is that the New York Times did an interview with a farmer in the Western Cape, mind you, not the main area where most killings are. So safely away in the safest part of the country, they had the interview, you know, and really their whole attitude is, no, 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 farmers aren't being killed. See, here's an example of a nice farmer and blah, 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 blah. And Trump was obviously wrong. He has to be, because he was born. He must be wrong. You know, all that kind of stuff. And it's Fox who had the article. It must be wrong, you know. And since they incited Trump to make that call on Pompeo, this is all evil and fundamentally wrong at the base facts. All of this must be completely wrong. And nobody can explain what happened better than Tucker Carlson with his unique kind of acid dripping comment. So I give you Tucker Carlson a couple of months later.
I told you about the plight of farmers in South Africa. Hundreds of them have been killed in recent years, some after suffering horrific torture. Instead of protecting the farmers, the government of South Africa has worked to change its country's laws in order to seize their land without compensation. Last year, the New York Times called this show immoral for even suggesting that farm murders might be a problem. But there's one problem for the Times. Their own interview subjects are getting murdered. Just this past March, the Times profiled a South African farmer called Stephen Smit. Smit's land had been overrun by a mob that built a shanty town and refused to leave. Smit told the newspaper that he'd received death threats, including a threat to, quote, burn him alive. He said he'd been intimidated into selling his land to local government officials. The article featured quotes from political activists openly attacking Smit on the basis of his skin color. Despite that, the Times once again concluded that it's, quote, false to say that farm murders are a real problem. Well, yesterday, four men broke into Smith's home while he was having dinner with his family. They shot him dead, and then they left. His was the second farm murder in the Western Cape province in the last month. According to the New York Times, they deserved it.
Wow.
What do I need to say? You know, you, like I said, you cannot talk to these people. No fact penetrates. Okay? So, if you want to know what the state president, having denied that farm murders take place, he's been watching television. He saw the George Floyd thing in the U.S. And here is the esteemed South African president in clip number A9 mouthing off on what he believes is the problem.
Sense of the natural order of things that encourages white South Africans to racist outbursts. But that also enters the home field as well, that encourages men to abuse their wives. That makes it possible the killing of a black man by a white police officer on an American street. It is this that speaks to the natural order of things that needs to be challenged and to be broken.
Hmm. Wow. Life in the alternative universe must be awesome.
Not if you're the president and, you know, people run around killing white farmers. It seems like the obvious thing to do. All you have to do is talk complete garbage, you know, where A does not connect to B at all. I have yet to understand where abuse in the home connects to any perceived racism on the part of dead farmers. Or can anybody connect this together for me? Because I sure as hell can't. I have a pretty close friend here in town, also another ex-South African. He's a very accomplished director of boards and eventually left South Africa a few years ago, concerned about the country. And he dealt directly with Ramaphosa, President Ramaphosa, because, you know, he had to worry about his company and all that kind of stuff. Very big operation in South Africa. And so he got to go around with all these politicians. And in particular, he had a lot of time for Ramaphosa. And I sent him this clip. And he said, I really wish you hadn't sent me this, Harry. I'm afraid it confirms everything. you know. Wow. So slowly but surely, everyone who thought that Ramaphosa was the great black hope is having to wake up and realize, no, guys, he was the main negotiator in 1994 before we had that big election. He was the guy who got the stupid white leader to throw his country down the toilet. Okay. Why do you think this guy's going to care about you? This guy is the enemy. This guy's the problem. He's right at the heart of the problem. And there you heard it. That's why he's at the heart of the problem. And if folks can't see that he's a racist, I have severe problems with him. Okay, that sketches for you the cultural situation. It sketches for you the fact that people have died. It sketches for you that even the New York Times' own interviewee got killed. I don't know what else one could say. But now to get to that question of yours, when you said the farmers aren't really doing anything, I wrote that article that I mentioned, and in it I said that the farmers have, all they've been doing is praying. And I don't think there's anything wrong with praying. That is laudable. It's great. As a Christian, that's what I expect them to do. But you can't just pray and do nothing. You cannot just pray and do nothing. And I was so concerned about writing those words that I kept my thing from publishing, got hold of a Reformed Church minister, sent him the article, and asked him if he could possibly take a look at it because I feel I'm starting to tread on thin ground. And he didn't just come back with exclamations of yes behind my statements. He actually went further. He said that behavior is unchristian, to just pray.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
That'll keep him safe. Harry, we have a hard break here at the top of the hour. For people listening who are frustrated, we are going to work on the sound while we have our news break, and we'll be right back with you. You can find the program at wethepeopleradio.us, and we will have an archive up later that'll have the sound stuff all fixed if you're annoyed. We'll be right back.